what's it like when these conversations come up? Are you able to just kind of take them in your stride?
There's a huge amount of anxiety and stress. Every time you open, you know, farming publications, it's another rule. It's, you know, it's another hoop you have to jump through. More paperwork.
In my other job, presenting Countrywide on Saturday mornings, I get to spend a lot of time talking to farmers, often about the snowstorm of environmental regulation that they operate under.
You know, but like, then is it calculated properly? Methane, it's a cyclical gas. Like,
in a lot of these conversations, there comes a point where the farmer will share the opinion that methane from cows is not being calculated properly.
You know, that's after 12 years, it goes back into the grass, you know.
And if it were done properly, it would show that they aren't responsible for any global warming.
There's nothing about it. Like, that's not been brought up yet. It's known, you know. It's known. Where's our minister, you know, to tell us, actually, lads, you know, we've 70% of that is overcalculated. It's not that bad, you know. You're not doing as much harm as we're saying, you know.
It's not a surprise I hear this so often, because there are lots of social media posts promoting the idea that the scientists of the world have gotten this one wrong.
This next bit is where climate scientists like to gaslight us farmers and say that methane is not the same as CO2.
They claim incorrectly that a molecule of methane from a cow is different to a molecule of methane from fossil fuels, and that if they were calculated properly, livestock farmers wouldn't have to reduce emissions.
So the net effect of the methane molecules emitted by my cows on global warming is zero. Factually, zero.
Before we go on, it's probably not a bad idea to nail this one down.
Is there any difference to biogenic methane, methane that comes from living things, as opposed to methane that comes from fossil fuels?
In terms of their impact on the climate, absolutely zero. A methane molecule is a methane molecule.
Professor Peter Thorne is Ireland's leading atmospheric climate scientist.
So there is nothing more virtuous about biogenic methane than fossil fuel methane.
As far as physics is concerned, methane is methane.
There are nuances to this which create confusion, but we'll save those for later. Suffice it to say that anything that you might have seen on social media suggesting farms don't need to cut emissions because their methane is biogenic is not correct. And there is so much of it.
They're part of the natural biogenic methane cycle, and they get rid of themselves. I mean, we know that. They've been doing that for millennia.
And this is all part of a biogenic carbon cycle that truly is a symbiotic relationship with the animals.
When they burp methane, as this too is just part of a natural cycle.
Discard the lies that these animals have any meaningful contribution to climate change at all.
Something interesting happened next. This frequently shared incorrect talking point broke through the social media looking glass and into the real world.
Biogenic methane is different from other greenhouse gases because of its biological origin.
The IFA, the largest of the farm organisations, understandably but mistakenly thought that this would mean lower emissions targets for agriculture. They pressed hard for it to be stitched into the Climate Act.
We put forward three simple amendments to ensure that farmers' concerns would be taken on board. Obviously, one of them was the way biogenic methane is being treated.
Initially, the government of the day rejected these amendments as unscientific, but by the time the Climate Act was passed, it had inserted itself. Even if it was vague and didn't require any action to be taken.
The current Climate Action and Low Carbon Development Amendment Act 2021 calls on the minister and the government to have regard to the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane.
It wasn't just the IFA. Another lobby group ran a full-page advertisement in the Farmers' Journal in the run-up to last year's general election.
Farmers, are you fed up being scapegoated for climate change? The fact is that methane from cows has not caused climate change any time in the last 10,000 years. But according to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, they're going to cause it now? You are being scapegoated, vilified, penalised and controlled.
What all these campaigners would like to see is a change in the calculation of the impact of methane, from something called GWP 100, the global warming potential over 100 years of a gas, to a new method called GWP Star, and they got their way in the new programme for government.
This government will recognise the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane and advocate for the accounting of this greenhouse gas to be reclassified at EU and international level.
It wasn't just one stray line that might get forgotten about. It crops up again.
The distinct characteristics of biogenic methane will be fully recognised in plans to achieve climate targets.
And again.
This government will recognise the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane, as described by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and advocate for the accounting of this greenhouse gas to be reclassified at EU and international level.
If you were drafting the programme for government, would you have put in on three different occasions that biogenic methane has these unique characteristics that need to be taken into consideration?
From a scientific perspective, absolutely not.
The programme for government is not good science.
It's not great science.
Climate scientist Professor Peter Thorne again.
There is certainly a difference between digging up a fossil methane and emitting a methane molecule from the active part of the carbon cycle, but it's really in the nuance.
Does changing from GWP 100, the current agreed form of accountancy for methane, to GWP Star provide a get-out-of-jail-free card?
There's no form of accounting for methane that gets us around the problem that we absolutely need to reduce global methane emissions by 50% plus by mid-century if we want to keep to 1.5 degrees.
Peter Thorne sits on the government's Climate Change Advisory Council. He could have been consulted before all these references to biogenic methane were included in the programme for government, but he wasn't. I'm Philip Boucher-Hayes, and this is Hot Mess. Methane. Is the government trying to use an accountancy trick to make agriculture emissions disappear? And what it could actually do to bring them down? If you are already convinced by what you have seen on social media about the global conspiracy against farmers to miscalculate methane, it will be hard to persuade you to change your mind. It's a really human thing to do, to hold on to the first story that you hear and ignore or disbelieve something that contradicts it. We all do it, all of the time. But perhaps this man might change your mind.
Yeah, there are some voices who say, let's reduce emissions, just cutting herd size, right? You've heard that.
Dr. Frank Mitlerner is a professor in the Department of Animal Science in a California university. He has been the chief proponent globally of this switch in the way that methane is calculated. Irish farm organisations have invited him to speak on several occasions. He even addressed the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee.
Thank you, Chairman Cahill, and members of the committee for inviting me to discuss methane emissions from livestock.
As a professor, on one of his visits to Ireland, I got to talk to him about what his research actually said and not what others claimed it was saying.
If you have a constant herd of cattle, let's say, near constant, I would say, then you will not generate new and additional warming. If you increase methane over time, then you are increasing warming and quite dramatically so. But if you decrease methane, then you decrease warming.
The nuance in what you're saying is really, really important here, because the message that many people have taken from it is, if we use your preferred metric of GWP star, well then we don't need to make the dramatic transformational changes in agricultural practices because methane isn't doing as much warming as we had thought previously. But in a context where we might be increasing, well then it is actually got a much more profound warming impact.
Yes, that's correct. If you increase methane over time, then the new matrix GWP star shows more warming than GWP 100.
If methane emissions from Irish agriculture were going down, then GWP star would mean that we would have a slightly smaller cut to make. But if they are going up, then we would actually be penalised for using this system.
It is not true that GWP star is a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is not true.
Okay. Because it will exaggerate even further the warming potential.
And it's important for us to get this right. What I can tell you for sure is GWP Star is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is making things worse if you increase methane. It makes things look much better if you decrease methane.
And here's the bad news. Methane emissions from agriculture have risen since 1990. They have gone up and down in that time, but the trend line has been an increase. So not only is GWP Star not a get-out-of-jail-free card, it would actually lock us into a potentially ruinous situation.
I think it would be really a walk into the dark for Irish agriculture to adopt GWP Star unquestioningly at this stage.
Ireland's other most senior climate scientist, Professor John Sweeney, thinks not only is there no tactical advantage to changing to GWP Star, it would actually be disastrous.
The methodology requires around about a 20-year horizon of data. And if you were to use, for example, 2001 or 2005 as the baseline for the calculations for GWP Star, Ireland would be severely disadvantaged due to the increase in methane that has occurred since then. So I think, you know, it's rather naive to think that there's a silver bullet there in terms of changing the metrics. And it would be perhaps folly for Irish agriculture to fall into that trap in the future.
But, quick reminder, that is what the Programme for Government commits Ireland to doing.
This government will recognise the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane and advocate for the accounting of this greenhouse gas to be reclassified at EU and international level.
So I think we really have to get on with reducing methane nationally and not seeking to find a way out internationally, which will require 195 other countries to play ball, many of which it would be deemed not to be in their national self-interest to do so.
Let's draw a breath for a second and recap. An attractive but incorrect interpretation of science became popular on social media farming circles. From there, it broke out into the wild. The government was lobbied by some in the industry to adopt this game changer for Irish farming, but on closer inspection, it's game ending rather than game changing. Nevertheless, it got written into the Climate Act. And then it got restated three times in the 2025 Programme for Government. It is now the stated political ambition and intention of this government to spend the next 5 years lobbying the EU, the United Nations and its 196 governments around the world to change how methane is calculated in the mistaken belief that it will give Ireland a way to have to cut less emissions. I asked the Department of Agriculture, was I mistaken, or was this actually government policy? The statement they sent me is read here by an artificial voice.
The Programme for Government recognises the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane and commits to advocating for the accounting of this greenhouse gas to be reclassified at EU and international level. Ireland's legislative position on the need to have regard to the distinct characteristics of biogenic methane will continue to be shared at both EU and international levels.
So, yes, it is now government policy to ignore climate science and to employ what you might call an accountancy trick to reduce agriculture emissions. The government appears to believe that this will mean less emissions cutting for agriculture. The scientists in the area say it will lead to more needing to be done. The really puzzling thing about this wishful thinking is Ireland has already developed sophisticated ways to actually reduce methane emissions from agriculture in the real world and not just on paper. Fifteen cows grazing in a small paddock, but they're not ordinary cows. These are next generation low methane emitting bovines. In one corner of the field is an automatic feeder with a hood over it. periodically one of the cows will break off from eating grass and go over to the feeder for a portion of nuts. Once eating them, the methane she breathes and burps is captured and measured, and it proves that these are no ordinary cows.
So what's happening here, Philip, is there's a cow with her head inside in the box. She's getting 30 grams of these concentrates or nuts or sweets being dropped down, and she's breathing out the nitrogen. Listen, that's the methane being sucked out into a meter, which is measuring how much methane that cow actually burp out at the moment.
Professor Donna Berry has bred these heifers from parents whose combined genes produce offspring that emit much less methane than the average cow.
However, the important thing about breeding is you get better every single year. So we would expect to see a 1% reduction every year from breeding.
And is that cumulative then?
This is the real beauty of breeding. And we have proven with milk production, with fertility, that we can improve things cumulatively year on year.
In the last few years, working on Countrywide on Saturday mornings on Radio 1, I have seen how Irish scientists have developed technology which could add up to even more emissions reductions than agriculture has to make. Donna Berry's research was developed in Ireland's agricultural research agency, Chagask. It is just one of 15 different techniques available today that are shown to reduce greenhouse gases. It's been given one of those names that is understood by scientists and nobody else: the marginal abatement cost curve, the MAC curve.
I would describe it as a restaurant menu. The technologies are the items on the menu. They have a calorie count, which is how much the carbon could be reduced, and they have a cost beside it. My name is Carl Richards. I'm the head of the Chagas Climate Centre, which is a virtual centre across the organisation, which focuses on how agriculture can achieve both its climate targets and also its biodiversity targets.
Farming is Ireland's biggest climate emissions source. If Ireland wants to meet its 2030 targets and avoid fines of anywhere up to €26 billion, it has to get serious about adopting tools in the MAC curve. Things like
reducing the age that we finish our beef cattle at. The target is to reduce them by about 3 months, so reducing them from, I think, 25 months to 22 months. And that reduces emissions by about 750,000 tonnes.
The target is 6 million tonnes of carbon dioxide. A younger finishing age would reduce that target by, as Carl said, 750,000 tonnes. Next.
Number two, then, is fertiliser type, changing from calcium ammonium nitrate to protected urea. That saves in around about 500,000 tonnes of CO2.
Protected urea contains 80% less ammonia, a greenhouse gas, than conventional fertiliser.
So that's a massive change in our fertiliser type, but a very significant reduction in emissions with no cost to the farmer.
Next.
Number three, then, is a little bit more experimental, and that's the inclusion of feed additives. That reduces emissions by about, again, around about 750,000 tonnes.
And so the MAC curve goes on. Technology to reduce emissions when spreading slurry on the land. Additives to reduce emissions from slurry stored over winter. Some are being widely used in the real world. Others are awaiting adoption. The big question: do they have the potential to add up to the more than 6 million tonnes of emissions cuts that Ireland needs to achieve by 2030?
At the high adoption rate, that leads to our targets being achieved. So we project that we can achieve 16.8 million tonnes, which is about 500,000 tonnes below the current target. What's clear is we need all of the measures, and we need all of them to be implemented to at the rate of adoption that we project.
Let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. Like, take the food additives. It's a public good, or in the public interest, that farmers adopt them, but it's only a cost for farmers. So in order to get the kind of widespread uptake or adoption that you're talking about, we'd need industry or government to get behind it rather than just putting the burden on the shoulders of farmers, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And, like, you know, history has shown us this. So if we take low emission slurry spreading, for example, that has been successfully implemented in Ireland for two reasons. One, we had the policy setting that required it to be introduced. And then we also had an incentive through TAMS to support the purchase of that low emission slurry spreading. So we need both the policy environment to support it and the financial incentives that will pay farmers to do it. It's a cost. It's around about 80 euros per cow per year is the estimate. So that's a significant cost to the farmer with no agronomic benefit or no yield benefits that the farmer would see. So it's purely a public good.
The more financial incentives the industry and government come up with now, the quicker farmers will start using MAC curve techniques. But without government and industry support, it's just a nice looking meal on a menu that nobody is eating. Farming in Ireland is the sum of the efforts of 137,000 farms. So you might think that it would take a long time to get widespread adoption of a new technique. But it's actually the case that when the industry's interests have come under threat in the past, it has proven really nimble and very quick to change. The dairy sector was faced with a serious reputational problem over the way that some farms disposed of unwanted bull calves shortly after birth. There was a tech fix that partially solved the problem. Sexed semen, guaranteeing a farmer a heifer and not a bull calf. But 5 years ago, virtually nobody was using sexed semen.
So here we have Charlus and a couple of Angus. Hereford, Limousine.
At the westernmost end of the Dingle Peninsula, Dinny Galvin is an AI man, artificial insemination. He's searching through his frozen semen straws for sexed semen for a particular bull.
And there's 5704 and there's 4449.
So 3 years ago, he couldn't give sexed semen away. Now, he can't keep up with demand.
And I mean, they're sold out with a month. Really? It's frightening, yeah. So there's a massive trend. It doesn't matter what AI company you're with. There's a massive trend throughout the country to breed sex semen now, and that's it.
A combination of government incentives and industry support largely solved a problem within 3 years. I asked Carl Richards, head of climate at Chagask, does sexed semen show what the government and industry could achieve on climate with the MAC curve if it were to get a similar level of support?
I think it absolutely shows that. And, you know, we've seen the same with low emission slurry spreading. We should see the same with technologies like protected urea. But I think at this point, we're in 2025. We have the next 6 years to achieve these targets. We need to step up and ramp up our efforts as an industry to show that agriculture can and will achieve its targets.
The MAC curve could work if the farmers adopting its measures are given the right level of support. Spending a bit today could go a long way to avoiding billions and billions in fines in 5 years. But the new programme for government doesn't mention the MAC curve even once. The accountancy trick, though, reclassifying the way methane is measured, that gets mentioned 3 times. On Countrywide, shortly after he was appointed, I asked Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden about why this government's programme didn't show any support for the MAC curve.
Farmers are more than doing their bit, and we're heading in the right direction, and we are going to support them in that. It is a given that we are going to continue to support farmers.
Why isn't MAC in this document then, if you are going to support that?
The Programme for Government document clearly sets out exactly how we're going to support our farmers in everything to do. This isn't a one-dimensional thing.
But if this is a priority, and I've read this document 4 times, I couldn't find MAC anywhere in it at all.
So what a priority is supporting our farmers to have viable farm incomes. If you talk to farmers, one of the biggest issues they face that would concern them is the area of succession.
Okay, you're deflecting from the concern about reducing greenhouse gases.
I'm not. You're overly focusing on it, and that's fine. Farmers will do that because farmers can do more than one thing at the same time.
The risk here is fines of up to 20 billion euro. Why is that not given greater priority in this document, or any priority at all?
It is all over the Programme for Government document, the elements we're making in climate, but it's not a one-dimensional conversation.
There are proposals on increasing support for MAC that are awaiting decisions in the Department of Agriculture. It remains to be seen which is of greater importance to this government, counting methane differently or supporting the measures that will reduce it. If you enjoyed this programme, there are others in previous series of Hot Mess available for download now. What will the world look like at 1.5 degrees? Why are we still flying? how do we prevent flooding? Thanks for listening.